Let's read together Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 8 through 14. Now, in this last section of Ecclesiastes, we have the conclusion of the book, including the author's authority for what he has written and some final advice for the believer. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning with verse 8. Vanity, vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and their collected sayings like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let's begin our study this morning of this last half of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 with some background notes. We've mentioned before that one view of Ecclesiastes is that it is only the human reasoning of Solomon and not necessarily true. In this view, it is like the reasonings of Job's three friends, who were definitely wrong in most of their reasoning, but the whole dialogue was recorded for our learning by divine inspiration. That is, the record of the dialogue is accurate and divinely inspired, even though all that they said was not true. This same approach to the book of Ecclesiastes is known as the partially theistic viewpoint. That is, the entire book is divinely inspired, of course, but it is only the inspired record of what Solomon concluded with his natural and human reasoning apart from divine revelation, and therefore he was often wrong in what he said in the book of Ecclesiastes. In this partially theistic viewpoint, Ecclesiastes only rises to the level of divine revelation here at the end of the book in the final conclusion. Well, by now you should have realized that we have not taken the partially theistic viewpoint of the book of Ecclesiastes. No, we have presented the entirely theistic viewpoint of Ecclesiastes. That is, Ecclesiastes is not only the inspired record of what Solomon reasoned, but that reason is accurate and correct as long as we understand the context from which Solomon is speaking. And Solomon, the inspired writer, is careful to give us that context. Sometimes Solomon, the inspired author, writes from the viewpoint of under the sun. That is how things appear to be if we did not have divine revelation. And sometimes Solomon, the inspired author, writes from above the sun, as it were, and tells us the way things really are when God and his word are taken into account. And so as Solomon begins his final conclusion of the book, he again stresses in verse 8 the theme that he began with, that under the sun, that is, without divine revelation, life is meaningless and futile. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. The wisest man who ever lived, who had whatever he wanted, and could experiment in life any way he chose, concluded that without God and his revelation of truth, life under the sun is one big zero. How many would agree, by the way, if you did not have divine revelation and insight from above the sun, life is a big zero? That's exactly what Solomon is saying, but he's saying it under the sun. So in that sense, it's more than the inspired record of what he's thinking. It is accurate. It is God's truth, because without God in the picture, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. But with divine revelation and with God in your life, Solomon concludes throughout the book that the believer can live life joyously, even though life is short, and even though God has not revealed everything to us. And now, beginning with verse 9 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon gives us his authority for the whole book, as well as some final advice. And that brings us to our doctrinal points. Ecclesiastes concludes with the author's authority. Ecclesiastes concludes with the author's authority, verses 9 through 12. Let's read those verses once again. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and arranged or set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable or delightful words, and what was written was upright. Words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and their collected sayings like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Verse 9 is another indication that King Solomon is the preacher here and author of Ecclesiastes. This wise man pondered and sought out and set or arranged in order many proverbs. Now, if you would like to see this wonderful work, read the book of Proverbs, which was written by King Solomon. We've seen some proverbs from Solomon here in Ecclesiastes as well. Notice what Solomon claims for his writing in verse 10. The preacher sought to find acceptable or delightful words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. This does not sound like just the human reasoning of a natural man, does it? Remember, it is Solomon, the inspired writer, that is making this claim. And notice in verse 11, Solomon claims that these proverbs, which are like goads or prodding sticks in life and give stability to life, are like well-driven nails and are not just the words of wise men. They are given by one shepherd. Now, who's the shepherd here? Solomon was not a shepherd. And if he was just claiming to be the shepherd of his people as their king, he probably would not have used the term one shepherd, especially when he referred to wise men, plural, at the beginning of the verse. No, this is a reference to the Lord himself. Most of your translations indicate this by capitalizing the S of shepherd. So it's a reference to the Lord, the true shepherd. So Solomon is definitely claiming divine inspiration here, isn't he? And then in verse 12, Solomon contrasts his inspired writing with other books which are not inspired. In fact, we are warned about the content of other books. If Ecclesiastes was only the faulty reasoning of Solomon's natural reasoning, we would have to be warned about Ecclesiastes as well. But we are not warned about Ecclesiastes, because Ecclesiastes is all truth. Ecclesiastes concludes with the author's authority. Doctrinal point number two. Ecclesiastes concludes with some final advice. Ecclesiastes concludes with some final advice. Verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. In these verses, Solomon gives some final advice to his readers, which again is part of the overall conclusion of the book. That is, we should accept the life that God has given us and live it joyously and make the most of every opportunity, but in doing so, we should fear God. That is, honor him and revere him and serve him. And we should keep his commandments, the easy ones and the hard ones, the ones that we like and the ones that we don't like. And we should remember that our lives will be judged by God himself, even the hidden things that we thought no one knew about. Notice, by the way, the judgment is for the good things as well as the bad. So reward is also in view here. Now, further revelation in the New Testament scriptures backs up Solomon's conclusion and gives us further details. Ecclesiastes concludes with some final advice. And now for practical application from this last portion of the book of Ecclesiastes. Practical application number one, base your life on goads and nails. Base your life on goads and nails. Now, why would you ever want to base your life on goads and nails? Answer, because of Ecclesiastes 12:11. The words of the wise are like goads, and their collected sayings like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. So what are the goads and nails of Ecclesiastes 12:11? We saw that these are not just the words of wise men, but they are the inspired words of wisdom. That is, words from God himself, the one true shepherd. Goads were long poles, about 8 feet long, with pointed ends for prodding oxen. Now, why would God's words of wisdom be likened to goads here in Ecclesiastes 12:11? Answer, because that is one purpose of the Word of God, to goad us into right action. It's often been said that the Word of God not only comforts the afflicted, but it also afflicts those who are too comfortable. Just as an ox goad was used to prod the oxen to go in the right direction and pull their load, so the words of Scripture prod us to stop sinning and motivate us to go in the right direction and pull our share of the load. The best way to motivate or goad fellow believers to love and good works is to use appropriate scriptures. The words of wisdom of Scripture are also likened to well-driven nails. That is, they give stability to life. They hold life together. If you base your life on Scripture, your life will not fall apart. The Word of God is sufficient for all that you need. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." From 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It goes without saying that well-driven nails are driven into something that is solid and secure, and Scripture is just that. It is the Word of God. It is not just the words of man about God, but it is the words of God to man. The Bible is the true, reliable, inerrant, authoritative, inspired word of the living God. Base your life on the goads and nails of Scripture. Practical application number two. Read critically. Read critically. That is, use careful judgment concerning what you read and how you read. In view of verse 12, this is a must. Verse 12 once again. "And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh." How many of you have experienced the last part of this verse firsthand? Much studying is the weariness of the flesh. Hey, if you haven't, go through graduate school and write a PhD thesis. You will see. Now, Solomon's point in the first part of verse 12 is not only to read the Bible, but be warned when you read the many other books that are out there. Read critically. Don't believe everything you read. Constantly compare and test what you read with the truth of Scripture, whether it be in the area of philosophy or science or morality. There's a lot of falsehood as well as trash on the market today. Be warned. Read critically.